folding pocket.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, welcome back to The Fast and the Curious with me, Betty Glover.
And me, a very excited team principal, because my God, have we got a good race to talk about. This is Greg James and live and direct from...
Miami. Hello, it is me, Christian Hugill.
Our very own, Mr. 305.
But why are you talking like a sex therapist?
Because I've got breaking news. I found a new job and I am now. I am a US sex therapist. It's going very well so far. Thank you for asking. Sorry. Normally I speak too loudly as a default, but maybe I'm speaking too quietly. But I'm speaking to you from the restaurant area of my hotel. So I don't want to bellow because no one else is interested in this podcast in this hotel area other than us.
Well, I don't know about that. We can see some palm trees. You look very tropical, actually.
Well, I've been on the beach, so I have loved the last few days, which we'll get onto in a minute, but my God, have I been busy. So I spent the morning on the beach.
Well, before we talk about and discuss and dissect what I'm pretty sure has been one of the best weekends of your entire life, if you're new to this podcast and maybe our special guest has brought you to the show, hello. On this episode or on this podcast, we like to take you inside the sport, go behind the scenes and just bring you the circus and the madness that is Formula One. So we're going to hear from Ed Sheeran, who Christian caught up with in Miami in a little bit. But first, guys, oh my God, what an absolute race. I can't believe it.
For the first time this year, I watched the race again.
Really?
I watched it from start to finish again. And I loved it again. And that shows you that this was a very special, special race. There was so much going on, not just the end, but it was, Christian, by any metric, a really, really good Grand Prix, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. And I'm pleased it was for so many reasons. Lando deserves his win. How many times have I said on this podcast, I do not go along with the whole... Oh, well, is he capable of winning races? Lando no wins, all that rubbish. It was always a matter of when, not if. I'm pleased for Lando. I'm pleased for McLaren because there are so many people who thoroughly deserve this win, who work so hard in that team, who've had some rough times. And I'm pleased for the Miami Grand Prix because I'm fortunate enough to have been twice now. This is my second Miami Grand Prix and it is the most spectacular event. And the first two weren't spectacular. So the Miami Grand Prix deserves this. I've had about 9 million requests on Instagram for this. So here we go. McLaren News.
I love how you've still nailed it, even with your husky voice, because honestly, what on earth do you sound like? What have you been doing? Have you been screaming?
There's two guys on the table having lunch opposite me who are in stitches laughing, thinking, what's that strange British man doing singing McLaren News into his laptop? But probably my, aside from us guys being together at Silverstone last year, my favourite F1 weekend ever, like it's been... Oh. I just feel so privileged to be a part of it, to be involved. So, thank you, F1 Explains team and F1 team for getting me there. And it's allowed us to do some fun things as well, not least get Ed Sheeran on the bloody podcast. You know, that isn't bad, is it? So it's been so special. It's been so special.
There's loads of time to talk about the stories around Miami and the Ed Sheeran bit, which was a real late night, Saturday night scramble to try and make that happen. But let's get into the actual race, and Where were you watching from, Christian? What was your vantage point, and when did you realise it was going to be a good one?
Well, not the most exciting place to watch. I was watching from the F1 TV office where I was sort of based for the weekend. But when I realised we were about to witness a moment of history, I ran downstairs into the paddock and stood myself at the back of the McLaren garage next to a screen. So I could hear inside the garage as Lando crossed the line.
Wow.
But I sort of went as far as I could get and poked my head round and saw everybody going wild in the pit lane. And then you can go into the stadium and be on the pitch of the Miami Dolphins of the Hard Rock Stadium. So I went, that's where the sort of paddock extension is. So I went there and I could hear the crowd chanting Lando, Lando, Lando from inside the stadium when the track was sort of the other side of me. And Greg, to answer your other question, when did I realise it was going to be a special race? I think when the safety car came out, it needed a safety car. The first 15, 20 laps weren't spectacular. And then the safety car came out and you thought, this could mix this up. This is interesting.
I want to get onto that safety car thing because I was wondering earlier, I was like, would this have happened? Like, do you think Lando would have had a chance if that safety car hadn't come? Because he was so fast.
I suspect if the safety car hadn't happened, Lando probably would have come second and not quite won the race, but who knows? Yeah, all right, you know, for those new to Formula One, if you pit under the safety car, that is a huge advantage because the rest of the field is going slower. The race has been neutralized, the race has been slowed for them to clear an obstacle. Max had pitted at full racing speed, Lando hadn't. Lando pitted under the safety car, takes the lead of the race. But in other races of this year, last year, we'd have seen Max quite simply recover from that glitch in the Matrix and just sweep past Lando and take the lead. Mm. But he didn't. Not only did he not manage to get past Lando, Lando extended his margin of victory. Lando pulled away. This was every bit a deserved Lando Norris win. This was not a safety car fluke.
But this is exactly, that's every game, match, race ever. Or if he hadn't have done that, then but it's like Lando still has to win, and every single McLaren fan, every single Lando fan for that last 15 laps or so were panicking. Like everyone lost their heads. Everyone apart from Lando Norris lost their nerve completely. And we thought, oh my God, but surely he must be feeling as tense as we are. No, he absolutely cruised it.
Greg, what you've just said there reminds me of I did an interview with Daniel Ricciardo during the Lewis Hamilton years. And Daniel said, Lewis's achievements sometimes make you forget how difficult it is to win a race. Mm. Everything's got to go right. Everything. And you've got to keep your head. Yeah. And we saw in Sochi 2021, the only time really Lando's been in a position to win the Grand Prix, win a Grand Prix, the team, the driver made the wrong call on tyres. It didn't quite work out. This time, there was no doubting it.
There was a bit of commentary where they said, oh, he looks so comfortable in the lead. He looks like he was born to lead a Grand Prix. And it's true. I mean, obviously he's led Grand Prix before, but not for that length of time. And that convincingly was amazing. So everyone was losing their heads, apart from Lando and maybe Arthur. Do you remember Arthur? Who's a big, big fan of Lando, big, big McLaren fan, big fan of Fast and the Curious. He's been back on with a new version, and I think a version that's got slightly more oomph than Christian's slightly hungover, embarrassed one because he's in a cafe, McLaren news. Arthur?
McLaren news. Well done, Lando. I hope you had a great race, and well done for winning the trophy.
Oh, lovely, Arthur. Lovely, lovely, wonderful Arthur.
That's great.
What an absolute legend he is. But Christian, this was absolutely monumental. What was the atmosphere like? Because from where we were watching and listening back at home, it looked insane. So what was it like in the paddock?
Normally there's the paddock where we were at Silverstone, and then you get the back of the garage, which leads into the paddock. And that's the case in Miami. But then you can walk into and under the stadium and go into an extra bit on the pitch in the stadium. Mm. So there was this lovely moment where McLaren sort of en masse all arrived back into the stadium, all wearing bright orange hats, all pouring each other champagne, all hugging each other. I was doing an interview for someone, and one of McLaren's media team hugged me with such force that I'm convinced it nearly broke one of my ribs. Hello, Harry. You know, you could just feel how much it meant to them. It was just such a special thing to watch and just take in.
The thing I really noticed is that it wasn't just McLaren that were buzzing about this. Everybody was buzzing. Ferrari was celebrating. You saw Toto Wolff congratulating them. All of the drivers were buzzing for Lando because this has been such a long time coming and he's finally done that. Did you see that and did you get sent to that?
Yeah. So I saw on the screens all the drivers come up to Lando to congratulate him. Then, as I mentioned, when I'd gone back into the stadium and as they all arrived, the first person I saw go up, make a beeline specifically for McLaren to congratulate them was Bradley Lord, Director of Communications at Mercedes, another friend of the podcast who's been on. Bradley went around congratulating them, which was lovely. Toto Wolff did the same. And right in the middle, little did I know, of that crowd I was watching, was the Ferrari team boss, Fred Vasseur, yeah, wearing a McLaren cap, spraying champagne, having the time of his life. His team had just been beaten, but even he was, you know, congratulating them. And as much as I bang on about in this podcast, they want to beat each other so much. It is so lovely seeing the camaraderie throughout the weekend. It's a travelling community. People look after each other. Mm. Everybody looks out for each other. Everybody congratulates each other in moments like that. It's a special part of Formula One that I'd never appreciated until being on the ground. It's lovely.
Well, it's nice because they all know how hard it is to win a race and they all know how much work goes into it. But I think it's maybe more than that. It's the fact that Lando is incredibly likable and they all seem to just, they root for him, don't they? Because I think they see that he struggles sometimes with confidence and beats himself up about stuff. But to see him finally do it, it really is, sky's the limit now for Lando Norris, isn't it? Now he knows how it feels to win. You can make a habit out of that.
Listen, that's a real win. McLaren's upgrades are the real deal. And the gossip amongst the weekend had been, these upgrades from McLaren are fantastic. Like, wow, this is good. And do you remember when, Greg, I remember listening to you on Radio 1 Breakfast when the COVID vaccine was first announced on the news and you were like, is this it? Could this be it? Sort of felt like that in the paddock this weekend with the McLaren upgrade. It's like, are these McLaren upgrades here? Is this what's going to break the Red Bull dominance? Is this it? Now, I think Red Bull is still the overwhelming favourites. I still think they'll win the titles this year. But this felt like the most significant step forward for a team that we've seen, but it really feels like McLaren are taking a step forward. And I heard more gossip that apparently Ferrari are rather pleased with their upcoming upgrades that they're due to bring in Imola.
Ooh.
So it does feel, I mean, listen, last year, Red Bull only didn't win one race. They couldn't hook it up and get the car happy for one race. This year, that's happened twice. In Australia, they weren't happy with the car and they had a mechanical problem. Miami, they've not been able to hook the car up. And we're only in, what was that, round six? I can't remember off the top of my head. It does feel like the needle's shifting.
Oh, okay.
That's so exciting. Also, like, no shade on Max, because he's an absolute legend. Absolute legend. Such a good driver. We say it all the time. But how amazing was it to witness somebody else win a Grand Prix and do it in a dominant style, where Max is then, you know, sat behind him thinking, how on earth do I get past this guy? I haven't been in this position since 2022.
Can I just talk about Max a little bit? Because he gets portrayed as the panto villain an awful lot. A lot of that's because he's dominating and people want it to be closer. It's all very understandable.
Yeah.
Sometimes British people struggle with his quite blunt sense of humour. He was so lovely with us in the interview. We obviously had him on the Miami preview show. Couldn't have been any nicer, more lovely with me. Same with the Red Bull team, who were really accommodating to us. And his reaction to Lando winning was the epitome of a class act and good sportsmanship. He actually really tried his hardest to move the narrative away from, didn't Lando get lucky with the safety car, by going, well, no, I wasn't happy with the car. This wasn't a good weekend for us. Lando deserves that win. He was really sportsmanlike. And of course, the two of them are good mates. So, in the same way we've praised Lewis Hamilton for how classy he is in defeat, it's the mark of a champion to lose gracefully. And Max, I think, did himself a lot of favours this weekend in the way he congratulated Lando. It was really nice to see. And as well, guys, I should mention, I reminded Gunter Steiner of our live episode we did with him on the morning of Silverstone, which he smiled at the memory of, because I did a live episode of F1 Explains with Gunter on the Thursday and said, we've done this before with my friends at the Fast and the Curious. And he went, oh, fantastic. It's great to see you. That's not a good Gunter Steiner impression. But I also was spreading the Fast and Curious love with Gunter, who warmly remembered and smiled at our Thursday morning rainy live experience. So lovely to see Gunter again. We'll get him back on. We'll get Gunter back on, definitely.
We'll definitely get Gunter Steiner back on. It was a bad Gunter Steiner impression, but I think it was a good Dracula impression.
Oh, thank you. Well, Greg, I'll take that.
That's a plus. We need to talk about another person you bumped into behind the scenes at the Miami Grand Prix. And this was, well, this was ignited because you messaged the group saying, just hanging out with my good friend, Ed Sheeran, because he was doing an interview for something in the, you know, in the paddock, whatever. And I thought, there's an opportunity here. We've got a rogue Christian Hugill, and we've got one of the biggest pop stars on planet Earth. Now, one of the privileges of my job is that I've met a lot of those big pop stars. And I thought, there's a way here where we could get the mind of Ed Sheeran to meet the mad mind of Christian Hugill. And
hello there.
Sort of like Dr. Frankenstein, I wanted to make this happen somehow. So I reached out to Ed Sheeran. Then I reached out to Christian Hugill. Now, famously, Ed Sheeran doesn't have a phone. So I was on an email exchange with him at sort of 11 o'clock on a Saturday night. Then I was messaging Christian saying, hang on, I'm waiting for my Gmail to come through. Then we managed to get hold of one of his managers called Nicole, who she had a phone. And then I made a group of me, Nicole, and Christian. Christian said, oh, I don't know if I can get there in time. Ed said, I've got an hour left before I got to leave site to go and do a gig. Eventually, you did meet up with each other in what looked like some strange sort of like medical tent. Where were you? Where did you meet him?
So when you were doing that, when you were doing your team principling and trying to hook us up, I was doing, as I say, my actual job. And I was actually in a meeting with the lovely people at Sauber. And the lovely people at Sauber fully understood as I go, I'm going to have to cut this short because I think I'm about to go and interview Ed Sheeran.
Yeah, good. Yes, because Sheeran beat Sauber.
Yeah, on this occasion, yeah. So nothing in the Miami Grand Prix is close to each other. So I ran from the stadium under the tunnel. Who am I greeted by? Not Nicole, his lovely manager, Ed himself, who somehow seemed to know who I am. He'd obviously been prepared. Oh. I couldn't believe it. It was like 4 minutes ago. I was on the other side of this complex in a meeting with Sauber. Now I'm sat in front of Ed Sheeran, the least prepared for any interview I've ever been in my life. And here we are.
Let me show you how he knew you, because I'd given him a brief on what to expect. I'd explained who you were. I said,
oh my God,
this is the guy you're looking for.
It was me with Logan Sargent.
I sent a weird sweaty photo of you with Logan Sargent. I was like, this is the guy. He's wanted.
Well, should we find out what happened?
Let's hear what happened when Ed Sheeran met Hugill.
Ed Sheeran, welcome to the Fast and the Curious.
Thanks. How are you?
I'm cool. This is unexpected, a fantastic surprise. I walked past you on stage with ESPN. Mm. I text Greg James and literally 10 minutes later, here we are sat in a room just outside the Miami circuit with you.
Greg is a connected man.
He's a well-connected gentleman, isn't he? And you said to me before, I didn't know he was an F1 fan, but yeah, he loves it. So have you been converted into an F1 fan?
I got booked for it for the Austin one in 2022 and was like, I can't turn up at this, you know, the F1's like a big deal. I can't turn up without knowing about it. So I did all of Drive to Survive and yeah, I sort of feel like I at least know the basics.
Oh, so you sort of binge-watched Drive to Survive in preparation?
You'd kind of have to do. I feel like if you didn't like football and you were going to the World Cup, you'd at least have to like look into it a little bit.
I'll be honest with you. I've seen more than a few celebrities do Formula One, and it's been obvious to me they haven't done their research. So I think you're not giving yourself enough credit. I don't think everybody does their homework like you've done.
Well, I think sometimes people come to it to come to it, you know, because it's a thing to come to.
What have you just been doing? Because you've looked very busy.
I have been in the Red Bull garage just now, seeing how that works. And then what am I doing? I'm doing a fast lap with, is it called a fast lap or a hot lap?
It's a hot lap, yeah.
A hot lap with George Russell in a bit. And I think we're saying hi to Charles Leclerc in at some point, and it just kind of like doing all the things, you know.
It's I was lucky enough to have a hot lap round here last year, and it is
lucky,
so lucky. Honestly,
isn't but, it like don't eat before kind of thing?
A little bit. I mean, how are you with roller coasters?
I'm not a big fan of roller coasters.
We should have done this afterwards because it's quite up and down. The walls, so this is what in F1 land they call a street circuit, even though it's actually a car park. You'll notice the walls are pretty close.
Great. Well, I mean, you're with a professional, aren't you?
Oh, George will look after you, yeah. And George looks such a nice, sweet guy and then drives like a madman. So you'll love it.
Sweet. Do you know what the car is?
He will be a Mercedes of some sort, I'm guessing, with him being from the Mercedes team. Yeah. I'm not brilliant with supercars. I'm decent with F1 cars, but it will be some sort of ridiculously fast road car Mercedes, I'm guessing.
Cool.
How are you with cars?
I don't know. I'm kind of like, I dip in and out. I have a Volvo that, you know, gets most of the use at home, and a Mini. But, you know, I bought the first car that I didn't learn how to drive till I was 24. And I said to my mate, what do I buy? And he was like, get an Aston Martin DB9. So that was like the first car that I bought, and then wrote it off. And
oh, no, but you're okay, I hope.
I'm fine, yeah. But that's why I'm a bit more sensible now.
With the Volvo?
Yeah, yeah. Family car.
And you've been in the garage when family car. You've been in the garage when the cars are on track. Yeah. What did you think seeing them close up? Because I know you've been to Austin, but is this the first time you've been that close up?
No, we did Red Bull when I was in Austin too. It's super impressive, super impressive. I mean, the amount of work that goes into the engineering of the car and just the amount of people that it takes. And even like the guy that I was chatting to was just like, all of these screens, like if anyone got a picture of these screens, they could then steal our ideas and then use it on their cars. And even the back of the car with the engine cover off, like they could steal that. Like it all seems very, very competitive.
They're the most competitive people I've ever met in my life in all areas. They want to beat everyone. It's insane. But there's a nice camaraderie and friendship with them as well, which is nice. Does that have any comparison to artists you'll meet who you want to outsell, but you also get on well with people in the industry? Can you see any parallels between music and between Formula One?
Yeah, I think the rule I think you should have with anything, whether it be music or Formula One, is that everyone obviously wants to do well, but you can't like trip someone up on the way to do that. So I think like if there was a team that was trying to sabotage another team on here, I don't think that's the way to go. But I think if people are just, you know, striving to be great, I think that's fine.
That's a nice summary. And I think they'd agree with you. Yeah, sabotage. They don't like sabotage around here.
I'm sure it happens though, right?
I think it's happened in Formula One's history, yes. Yeah. Not anymore, I'm pleased to say. And you're playing the Saturday of this weekend, am I right?
I'm playing tonight at the Hard Rock, and then I'm playing tomorrow at the Saturday on the track.
That's cool.
Yeah. I did that last time in Austin. I really enjoy it. It's kind of, you come in and it's like a real like circus of craziness.
So have you got favourite drivers? Have you got favourite teams?
I guess I haven't... affinity to Red Bull, because the first time I came here they were the ones that were like, we'll show you around. Sure. But yeah, I think like being British, I always would like a British driver to win. Just I think that's just a patriotism thing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Of course. Have you met Lewis before?
Yeah, I met Lewis back in 2014 on Jonathan Ross.
I was on Jonathan Ross with Lewis Hamilton.
But it's usually the way that you meet someone that isn't necessarily in your industry will be like a chat show like that.
That's fantastic. Maybe you could take George Russell with you to Graham Norton or something next time. Now you're going to have a little passenger lap with him.
Yeah, totally, totally. I'm excited to meet George Russell.
And the paddock is it's actually not quite as crazy as it was this morning when you're walking up and down. What do you think, because you've done Austin as well, what do you think to sort of the circus that F1 brings with it?
Do you know what I find mad is that there is a professional sport that like 10 minutes before the sport begins, there's just thousands of rich people taking selfies with the professional sports people. You know, like it, like if the World Cup final was about to start and there was just loads of VIPs on the pitch taking selfies with Messi.
Well, have you been on the grid before the race? Because
yeah,
that's
like, it's mad. And then it all just like dissipates.
Click of a finger.
And then it starts. But I find that I've never known a professional sport where like you can just allow whoever on.
I know exactly what
like,
you mean.
If I was a driver and I was trying to get into my zone and like there's just thousands and thousands of VIPs.
So flip it to your world. If you were about to, I don't know, do something like Wembley or one of your massive arenas And you would you like people buzzing around you asking you questions, or do before you go on stage, do you need some time to focus to get in the zone? Could you imagine if that F1 world translated into your world? Am I making sense?
Yeah, I don't think it really matters, to be honest. I never in the venues that I came up in, I never had dressing rooms, so like I would always be in a crowd anyway. So I've never been like one for like a routine before a show, but I'd rather not. Have
yeah, of course.
Lots of people, but yeah, I don't think it matters. I met Ricardo as well. I had a lunch with him randomly. He was a nice guy.
He's a very nice guy, very funny man as well. And a lot of them are huge personalities as well, which is great. And such nice guys. And
who's your favourite?
Well, so we have some regulars on this podcast. George has been on several times. He's a lovely guy. We speak to Alex Albon a lot, who talks to us about being a massive Animal fan, which we love hugely. The McLaren guys, Lando Norris and Oscar Piastri, are a lot of fun. Logan Sargeant, Logan Sargeant's the American driver who grew up just down the road. So I struggle. I've watched this sport since I was five, and I struggle to have a favourite. I just love the sports, but I think I'm biased towards the ones that come on our podcast, I think. But they're a really nice bunch of guys, this crop of F1 drivers, which is lovely.
Totally. Totally. Who's your team from the years, like when you were a kid?
I was a McLaren fan growing up because they had Lewis and Jenson. Right. So I always like that. I always like Jenson Button. Have you met Jenson Button?
I just saw him doing an interview with Sky Sports, but no, I haven't.
He was my guy as a kid, and so I was a big McLaren fan as a kid. So yeah, and but presumably you never caught it growing up.
No. I was always just football, to be honest. I never really followed. My dad liked rugby and cricket and stuff, but I always just watched football.
And Greg's a huge cricket fan, so there's more cricket chat on this Formula One podcast than you'd expect.
Yeah, totally. I always bump into him at the cricket. I actually haven't been to the cricket since Warnie passed away, because he was always my in.
If you want to do anything when you're back in the UK, speak to Greg and he will bore you with cricket chat for hours and hours and hours. Ed, it's been an utter pleasure having you on the Fast and the Curious. Enjoy your, two gigs over the course of the weekend?
Yeah, I played last night in Los Angeles as well. It's kind of like a bit of a hit and run mish over here.
How was LA?
It's good. It's good. It was like a charity event at Dodgers Stadium, and it was fun. Met a load of baseball players and then flew here. Landed this morning, play a show tonight, play tomorrow, fly to New York, fly home.
When do you sleep?
Well, I've got kids, so I never really sleep. There's not really any different.
Yeah, so you're used to it. You're used to the early mornings. Ed, such a pleasure having you on the podcast. Thanks so much for taking the time.
Nice one. Thank you, man.
See, that's the thing about Ed Sheeran, is that the more famous he gets, it seems, the nicer he becomes and the more grounded he becomes. And it was amazing that he just wanted to say, yeah, I'll give you some time for that chat. And I'm pleased that he was lovely to you, Christian. It was a really good chat as well, because the hot lap video of George Russell is absolutely amazing, if you've seen that, where he is quite literally his pants. The idea that the thing about Ed is he's very interested in everyone else's jobs, so he's very interested in the drivers. So I wasn't surprised that he found it amazing that the drivers all hang out together beforehand and found that slightly strange, because they are so calm, and then literally 2 minutes later they're driving at 250 miles an hour. That's a lot for any normal person to get their head
around.
It's
mad.
So I'm pleased that he could see it through sort of normal person's eyes, the Grand Prix, and it was a lovely insight. So thank you for running across Miami to get that chat. It was, and I'm sad that he wrecked his DB9 as well. That's sad.
Oh God, yeah, that was sad, wasn't it? Thank goodness he's all right though.
So you've seen Ed Sheeran whilst you were wearing your incredible shirt.
Thank you.
Who else have you seen?
I saw Camila Cabello, who I wouldn't have recognised if someone hadn't pointed her out to me, because she had an enormous fringe and massive glasses. So it could have literally been any other human in the world.
Classic pop star attire.
Yeah, lovely to see Ms. Cabello. I saw Will.i.am on the stairs in the Formula One office. Who?
I got the formula.
One. When you just see him in a bland corridor, sort of sticks out like a sore thumb a bit. Do you know what I mean? When there's not the bravazo around you, it was like, well, that's Will.i.am just in a corridor. That's interesting.
What was he wearing, out of interest? Because he always wears slightly edgy things, doesn't he?
Do you know what Professor Snape wears on the Harry Potter films?
Yes.
That, like a large black cloak, it looked like. Which, listen, it's 28 degrees. I wouldn't have been comfortable in, personally. But it was a lot of, a large black number. I saw lots of American football players who are apparently a big deal, but my knowledge of American football is non-existent. A lot of people messaged me when I wore this hat last on the podcast.
Well, Tom Brady was there.
Yeah, I didn't see him. And I, yeah, there was rumours that Taylor Swift was going to be there, but I don't know if she ever actually showed up in the end. I don't know.
Yeah, because her boyfriend was there, Travis Kelce, wasn't he? So
Big Trav was there hanging out with the Alpines.
She might have been doing the big shop in Walmart, but yeah, it was good fun.
Well, I've thoroughly enjoyed this episode. You seem like nicely unraveled in Miami, which is what I hoped it would do to you. You need a week off now. You've got a week off, haven't you?
I have. I mean, it was amazing, but I didn't dip under like 18,000 steps for a week. So I was so busy. So I spent like 3 hours by the beach, which was amazing. For the next week, I am on holiday, so I will make up for that. There'll be a couple of gin and tonics over the course of the next week.
But as team principal, I need to look out for my team while you're away. You need some downtime, so switch off, please, for a little bit, Christian. But before you get on the flight back, I just want to remind you, you know what's coming? Put your NordVPN on so you can watch all your favourite shows on the way home, yeah?
I have some exclusive NordVPN news. I've downloaded it to my iPad, and a TV programme I very much like has been released while I've been in the US, and without NordVPN, I wouldn't be able to download it for the flight home. But because of NordVPN, I'm going to be able to download it for the flight home. And yes, you can save yourself money by changing your virtual location and save a fortune on flights. That's all very impressive. Yes, you can watch sports events, but I'm just quite happy it'll fill a 9-hour flight home for me. So thanks, Team NordVPN. I'll forgive you for not getting me a hat.
Betty, what are the shows that Christian could watch on his flight back that he wouldn't be able to get in Miami? What do you reckon? What are his favourites? You know him really, really well. It's like Emmerdale. What's he watching?
I don't think he's an Emmerdale kind of guy.
Emmerdale's not far off.
Courier EastEnders?
No.
Hollyoaks.
I want to download the latest Race Across the World.
Oh, yes. BBC. I knew that. I actually knew that.
Phenomenal television programme.
Also, guys, you can race across the world with NordVPN. It would help you massively.
Oh, very good, Betty.
Lovely, lovely, lovely. Yeah.
Greg, any more information as to where our listeners might be able to keep tabs on NordVPN and maybe download it themselves?
Yes, there is information coming out of my mouth now. For the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/TFATC. That is to fast and to curious, TFATC. Our link will also give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. That's actually loads, to be honest. And there's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the description of this episode. And I feel like that is a nice place to end today's podcast. Thank you very much, Betty, for assembling. Thank you, Christian, for, being in Miami, but also just coming off the beach for us. And we'll be back on Friday with another episode. We're going to have Ruth Buscombe. Ruth is great. We've chatted about her a little bit before. For those who don't know, Christian, who's Ruth Buscombe?
Ruth is the former head of strategy at Sauber. She's also worked for Ferrari. She is one of the most respected voices in the paddock. People who watch and listen to our podcast from around the world will also now see her alongside our mate Laura Winter and Will Buxton on F1 TV as well. So she's a powerhouse of Formula One knowledge. I've just wanted a flight.
What? There you go. That's the end of the episode. Bye, everyone. Cheers.
Spit it out quick. Good protein, though, to be fair.